A really good morning to you on another beautiful day. It's Tuesday morning. It's Steve's thought for the day, and we are looking this next couple of weeks, as you know, through the Minor Prophets. Well, when I say looking, it's just a slight glimpse in the time that we've given ourselves to just share something that hopefully provokes some thought in you and some challenge in you for the day ahead. And moving on from Hosea yesterday, we move into an often quoted book, the book of Joel. And I read this last night. It's only three chapters and it literally takes you 10 minutes to read it. But as somebody who loves sport, football in particular, and excited that it's back this week, there's a phrase that many commentators and pundits use that you hear all the time, even with new faces on the scene. And they will often refer to a match as a game of two halves. So, you know, first half, one team totally dominant and look as though they're going to run away with it. Half time comes, they come out and the scene totally changes and the other team come back and, you know, the result is what it is. And this book's a bit like that. That's immediately what came to mind. It's a book of two halves. You get the first section that I would say is almost a lament of the plague. We've not in the prosperity that we had in Hosea. Suddenly, locusts have ravaged the countryside and caused distress and hardship. They've killed the economy. And in there, the people are looking for God to turn around this situation. And so the second half of the book is very much after the lament of the plague. It's the promise of future blessing. And my initial thought on that is, isn't this an incredible picture of our lives? At whatever point we met Christ, there's almost the lament of what we didn't have and what we missed before, and now the future blessing and promise of living a life wrapped up in the purpose and promise of God. But there's a few verses that, as somebody who has been a Christian for many years, I remember hearing these preached on time and time and time again, particularly in the sort of charismatic Pentecostal world. And these are the verses. They're taken from chapter 2 and verse 27 through to 32. Let me read them. "Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens, on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." What an incredible picture, an outpouring of God's Spirit. This is unique in Old Testament language. If I hadn't told you and you didn't know, you'd probably attribute this somewhere in the New Testament if we're talking about an outpouring of God's Spirit. And it begins by saying, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit." So what's the afterwards? Well, in this case, back in this point in history, it's at some point after Israel returned to God with all her heart and all her devotion. But I want to emphasize where it goes in the New Testament, because Peter declared, being prompted by this same Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord was to be outpoured in the last days. That's Acts 2 and verse 17, the day of Pentecost when he stands up to address the crowd. And I really believe that this prophecy in Joel clearly pointed to the outpouring of the Spirit on that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 that we look at with energy and love and life so keenly. And it's that what we often refer to as the birth of the church, beginning there in Jerusalem. And he even quotes in the verse before, Acts 2:16, Peter says, "This was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. But let me sort of round this up with something to inspire you today. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit quoted in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. He says it would be for all flesh. That means no racial barriers. He says it's for sons and daughters, so there's no gender barriers. He says it's for young and old, so no age barriers. And it would result in prophecies, dreams, and visions. We have witnessed historically the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I pray today that it would continue to be on all flesh. So today, 2,000 years on from that initial outpouring, no racial barriers, no gender barriers, no age barriers. God will pour his Holy Spirit down on all flesh. That's you and that's me. And so I want to pray as part of this thought today that you, listening to this, every Christian and everybody outside of Christianity yet to find God, would receive something of the outpouring of God's Spirit that will bring energy and life and hope to us all. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And we ask that this all-encompassing outpouring of the Holy Spirit would continue to increase and intensify, that the whole world would know and resonate with a great momentum of your Spirit pulsating through our bodies, through our hearts, through our minds, through our veins. Today, Holy Spirit, come to us. Fill us with everything of God and energize us for the day ahead. So I pray, Holy Spirit,